Here we go. Okay, Fred. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Eidus, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Gimel, Chapter 12, Law 3. We talked about the idea of people who are puzzle for doing an Avera, and we make them puzzle even though they didn't get lashed, even though we had witnesses and we couldn't enforce the lashing, but we know they did a very, they get puzzle. He can't make himself puzzle. Now we're going to talk about from Gimel till the end of the chapter is going to deal with, okay, once the guy is puzzle, what has to happen to make him kosher again? What would tell if he's done the proper tshuva? Can't be puzzle forever. So we've got to find how he can get himself back in the good graces of the court system. Halacha Gimel. Shnayim sheheidu al echad shu pasul ba'averum el averus. If two people testified on this one fellow that he was pasul because he did a certain aver that make him pasul for edus. However, ubo shnayim ve'idu sh'asa tshuva v'chazer ba o shalaka. And two witnesses testify that he did tshuva and he no longer does this anymore. And that was in a case, let's say, where the witnesses, you're right, they testified, but he wasn't judged to get lashes for any technicalities. Or the two witnesses said that we indeed saw he was lashed, as we'll see in a moment. We'll see in a minute. When you get lashed automatically, you become kosher, as we'll see why shortly. So just be patient. We'll see the reason for that. So the first two witnesses said, we know he did a aver. The second ones aren't arguing. They're saying, could very well be the aver, but we know he's done either tshuva visa tshuva by himself, or it'll be tshuva, as we'll see, via lashes. So, what do we say? I raise a kosher. The guy's kosher because there's really no conflict between the two witnesses. They're both right. So what? So he was in Russia as of February 1st. He's in tshuva as of February 9th. So fine. Today's February 15th. So everybody agrees. And he's, right now, he's okay. However, but what if after the first two witnesses said he did this Aveira to be a Russia, and two witnesses argue with them and say, you're wrong. Lo asa Aveira zu. He didn't do this Aveira as you claim. Velo nifson, therefore he's not possible. So it's two against two. What's the halacha? Hareza a suffolk possible. He's in doubt of being possible. Because there's two are saying he's puzzle and two are saying he's not.
Why isn't it a chazaka that a Jew is a good Jew? When it's
well, it's already the problem. There's two people. There's two people saying that he wasn't good, and those are two kosher witnesses. They're two kosher witnesses. Well, therefore, what do we say? We're kind of in the middle. Lefikach lo ya'i. Therefore, we just don't accept their testimony. It's not like we're doing anything to them. We're just saying you can't testify. We will not let their testimony take money away from somebody. So basically, we're saying since it's two against two, we leave it as it is. We just don't accept their testimony. And they cannot be judges. Remember, anyone who can't be a witness can't be a judge. Unless we know that the guy did tshuva, we can really prove one side better than the other. Okay, or any other psulim that make them puzzle in that way. So you're saying, why do we go with their cheskes kashrus? You know, there's already a problem with the cheskes kashrus because there's two witnesses saying it's a problem. He's such a kosher guy. Why are two witnesses saying that he's done that? And I'm sure the Besen's asking a lot of questions.
That's the same as saying that you can't use it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you need to do.
But we're not saying they're puzzle. We're not saying they're puzzle. We can't go around saying they're Rishoyim. And these guys could say, I'll tell you, now if they're really good guys, if they're real good guys, then they'll inherently be doing tshuva instantly. Let's say two guys said that Sam Friedlander is a gambler.
Sam?
Two guys say he's a gambler. And then me and Martin say, what are you talking about? He's not a gambler. So what's going to be the issue? Sam's going to say, what do you want me to do? You'll see in a minute what you got to do. She says, listen, I don't even have any dice. He says, so why don't you do tshuva? If the guy's really exotic, he'll do tshuva. But we'll see.
Tshuva.
We'll see in a minute. Okay.
Tshuva nothing.
So we'll see. We'll see what it
this
takes.
So the same as taking the first two witnesses and saying that
it's a doubt. We're not accepting their testimony as being absolutely true. We're not saying these guys are reshoim chas v'shalom. We cannot say they're reshoim. We can't say we're not going to give an aliyah and shul. You don't say that kind of stuff. He's not a Russia.
But he can't
so he can't. It's a big deal.
So that would be the same.
What are you taking? No, it's not. It's not. Because then when two people say you're a Russia, then everybody in town says you're a Russia. That's a big difference. If you're a Russia, there's certain negative stigmatism. Here it's a suffix. So he can't testify, so he won't have to go to court, Mark. Won't have to go to court. He'll say, I'm a Suffolk Russian. Thank you very much. And I don't have to go to court. Let me off the hook. It's just a Suffolk, that's all. We're not saying he's for sure a Russia. It's a Suffolk. And you want to believe this guy, he'd take money away from another guy either? How do we know? We don't know. So since we don't know, so listen, if he's really a tzaddik, so his tzidkus will shine through very quickly.
Sam went to Casino Rama for a glass of water.
You know, so, we'll see.
So I just want to ask, is Gimel...
First of all, they're going to have to say what he's a Russia for. What did he do? They're going to have to find something that he did that makes him a Russia.
They have to testify.
Right? And there was a whole slew of things that could make a guy a Russia, right? It shouldn't be very hard and shouldn't be very long for them to do tshuva, should it?
But is this assuming in Halacha Gimel that there is nobody that saw him do tshuva also?
Well, let's get to the next few halachas that tell us how we can tell if a guy did tshuva. We're putting the cart before the horse. We don't know what tshuva entails, do we?
But it's said already.
But we don't know what it entails. We don't know what it entails, and if we'll wait for maybe two halachas, it'll start telling us what tshuva looks like. So maybe if we'll see what it looks like, we could talk more intelligently.
Well, we got lashed.
We don't know what, but they're not going to lash him here because there's no testimony that we can lash him for. So now the only thing we could ask is for tshuva. So how does tshuva look? All right, so we'll see.
Looks good.
Dalit, call me Shanis Chayiv Malkus, anyone who is Chayiv lashes, and he gets the lashes, Bein Sha'asa Tshuva, whether if he does specific acts that he does Tshuva for, okay, meaning, or Bein Shaloka Bebezdin, another, again, if he does an act, let me repeat that again. If he does an action that would normally be Chayiv Malkus, so regardless if he did tshuva, means that there was no warning, and therefore the conditions were such that he did not get lashed, but he does real tshuva, or shaloka, let's say he actually got lashed in a bezin, and that's all he needs to do, chozer lekashrusa, he returns to his state of being a kosher Jew. Now, where's the source for that? When the Torah talks about lashes, it says, "Venikla ochichol erecha." Your brother gets lashed before your eyes. Now, why is he called your brother? The Gemara learns, once he is lashed, he returns back to being your brother. Okay? So therefore, that already, by definition, makes him done tshuva. Because that act of lashing brings him to that state of tshuva. Okay? Even though he hasn't done all those things, it would appear that we'll see in a minute that would show that he's done tshuva. But still, now it's not so simple because you see there's a Rambam later on in the laws of Toin V'Nitan, right? If he was suspected on false oaths, whatever, and they got, over there he says if the guy got lashed and does tshuva, he goes back to his state of kashrus. So Rambam later seems to say lashing with specific activity shows he's on tshuva. It seems over there that even if you get lashed, if you didn't subjugate yourself and make yourself humble, etc., you don't go back to being a kosher Jew with that. And so it's interesting, the Taimani text of the Rambam here has a little different than what we have. It says anyone who is chayv lashes, since he was lashed, he goes back. And he doesn't say Bein Sha'asa Tshuva. He doesn't have those words, whether he does tshuva or not. So it seems that it's just lashing on. So it's not clear from the Rambam if he has to do a demonstrative act of tshuva following the lashes or not. It's not clear. But certainly that would be a good advice thing to do. Be that as it may, but he can go back to being in his kosher state. However, Aval She'ar Pesulei Edus, but it would seem from this Rambam at least that he goes back to the state of kashrus without doing tshuva by being lashed. It would seem from this Rambam at least. Now, then he says, but other things that make him puzzle, and the reason he's puzzle is Sheim Psulei Mishum Mamon Shechom Sugoso, for monetary reasons, let's say he stole, or he took something and paid for it, but he took it against the person's will. Even though he pays, and it seems he's corrected the problem, that's not enough. That for sure, tzrichim tshuva. That needs specific tshuva, because now, when you steal, you're bad to people and you're bad to Hashem.
Right.
So if the fact you gave the money back, you may be okay to people, but you're still bad to Hashem, so we have to see some tshuva. While lashing is generally for things that have to do between you and Hashem, so that kind of takes care of it. But vareheim psulim, they are puzzled, unless we know, till they've left their evil ways. Okay? So, we have to testify, we have to have proof that they have done tshuva. And therefore, anything that they signed in documents until that point in time would be null and void documents. Now, the Rambam is going to go through specific instances of specific averos that will show us how he does tshuva. Hey, now one of the things, for example, you can't do is lend with or borrow with interest. Okay, so may emasai chazaras malvin baribis. When do people who lend money with interest, how do they get back to the state of being believed? The answer is mishiyikru shtar seim. If they rip up all the documents they wrote that people owe them money, may ask them, they do it by themselves. They self-initiated did it. And all they're going to collect is the principal and not anything else. V'yachzubhem chazorah gemura, and they do complete shuva to the extent, this is how far they have to go, shlo yalvu baribis afilu l'goyim, that he won't lend with interest even to a goy that is permitted, that is generally allowed, but since these guys were puzzled, they have to go to the other extreme. In other words, there should be any ideas of interest should be out of his head, even permitted ways of interest should be out of his head. That would be tshuva gemura. Okay, what?
You can never lend to a non-Jew with interest ever?
This guy can.
I guess this guy. Like an alcoholic, you know.
So you can never do it again.
You can never even take one drink.
What about returning the interest?
No, yeah. You can't collect the interest. No, yeah, he wrote the debt.
He has, yeah, it says you have to give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're saying even before to collect, but obviously he has to return the interest.
When if you have the promissory note, isn't that including the principal?
No, no, he just, they rewrite it, whatever. They say,
they rewrite it.
It just says he pays the principal. But he yeah. I'm never going to do it again, even from a goy. I'm never going to get involved in interest. I'm not going to be a loan shark anymore. And that's it. How do we get a guy who's a dice player, a gambler, to do tshuva? Number one, he destroys all his gambling cubes.
Oh boy.
Alright, all the cards. He throws away all his cards, whatever. He does complete tshuva. He won't even play for nothing. You know, just for fun, for, you know, bingo chips or whatever. He just doesn't play, he won't play hearts. Face, I don't know.
He can't even come to the bingo night.
He couldn't come. Sign. What about, how do you get you from the guys who were sending those pigeons? And those people who usually do that, they steal other people's pigeons. So how do you do tshuva for that? You gotta first of all break all the traps they use to catch the other people's pigeons. The Yatsum Chazorik Mori has to complete tshuva. He doesn't even do it in the desert. In the desert, there's no other people's pigeons, so there's no suspicion of him ever stealing. But he'll never do any pigeon business, even when there aren't any people's other pigeons even around to steal. In the middle of Death Valley, he can't even do his pigeon business over there. And then we know that he's completely sworn off from that. Ches, me'ema sechazar sergei shvitz. What about people who have done business with Shemitah crops? Remember, they go into the guy's field, take a whole bunch of crops, and selling them, which is also not allowed. So you gotta feel like this. You gotta wait a long time for tshuva on that, because it's every 7 years is Shemitah, right? So mishitagia shvis v'yibadku, when the next Shemitah comes along. Now the texts say not to say the word nishibadku, but v'yibadlu. We see he separates from it. He doesn't do any business with these fruits anymore. And he makes, his stuff hefker for the aniyim. And not just v'loch hazar svelmad, it's not just verbally saying that he's going to do that, but we have to have some kind of monetary way of showing. It's not good to just say, well, I promise I'm never going to do it again. We've got to show he really means it. Elokos, he has to write a document. And he ploni ben ploni, I such and such, kinasti masayim zuz mer shviz. I want you to know, 7 years ago, I made profit of 200 zuz from Shemitah money that I shouldn't have done. Now I'm giving a check, $200 for all the aniyim. From all the money I made, I'm giving this charitable donation to everybody. It maybe could be tax receivable, it might be okay. But anyway, that is, maybe not, I don't know. But that means we for sure know he's not going to do it again. Next, test. What about a guy who transgressed? And we're afraid that he swore falsely. That's also another thing that takes him out of the game. So Mishavel Abez, he goes to Bezin, but not a Bezin here, but a Bezin Shemakirno, so that doesn't recognize him. That takes much more courage to tell the truth in front of people who thought you were a good guy. If you're going to where people know who you are, and they know you've sworn falsely, doesn't take a lot of courage. You go to a new city, and everyone says, oh, he looks like a nice man. And he goes and says, remember, listen, Choshadad, and why you know that I've already been suspected for falsely swearing? I'm not kosher to swear.
Just getting out of being a witness?
Okay, what?
You do that together.
Well, no, but anyway, but in other words, people who didn't suspect the guy, and he's saying, I want you to know I'm under suspicion, and I need to do tshuva for that. Oh, Yisrael Shuvez, and let's say there'll be a scenario where he would normally be obliged to swear and let's say get out of pain. Shein makirno so osh yischayev shuva bevezdin shein makirno so b'mamon chashuv, or he be chayev in a oath from a bezin that doesn't know who he was with a significant amount of money, and what does he do instead of swear? Yisham, and he pays out, even though technically he could swear. He's allowed to swear, but it goes to the extreme. He said, I'm going to pay, and I don't want to swear. I don't want to take advantage. I'm staying away. I'm swearing off from swearing. Okay. When he did the wrong things, remember, a shoychet can't do all the inspections himself. There's got to be other people doing this. He was checking for himself. Well, that's not bad yet. And he would sell, but the yotzei treif and but then we sell. Found out he's selling treifas. That's bad. Now that makes him a Russia. Sharei ubechlal ochle treifas. Consider the people who are giving people to eat treifas. Shehem pesulin laedis. They're not allowed to testify. How these guys get out of the game? And I raise a puzzle. Is he possible to testify? At shira until they see from his action by himself. Shenichem al rasa. They see that he regrets his evil. Such as the Yilbash Shacharim, he wears black clothes.
Everybody does that.
The Yechaser Shacharim, he covers himself in black stuff. The Yelcho Mokam Shemar Kiyuno, so it goes where nobody knows him. Again, he won't have to give himself away. The Yachser Aveda Mokam, so he gives back a lost object that's worth a lot of money. In other words, he does an act that significantly shows that he's not going after money. But again, in his city, he wouldn't believe it because maybe he's only doing it because he has to do it. In other words, it has to be people seeing that he's done real tshuva. You can't go, let's say, schlep a guy from his old city and say, here, come to the new city, I'm going to show what kind of tzaddik I am. No, they have to have people who just happen to notice that he really is changing his ways and he's doing it in front of other people, not thinking that's going to gain him any benefit. Or another example, let's say he voluntarily shows that he made a treifa by mistake, and he's willing to lose $500 for the steer that he can't use it to sell his kosher meat. Yud. What about a liar, Adim Zomim, who do not get killed, do not get punished, and for whatever reason, you know, technically they didn't get caught for whatever reasons. Let's say they did something wrong and the guys were guilty, the case was rendered, and then later on we found there's only, you don't do any of those guys, right? For they have to shalach l'makom she'em arkinos, they go to places nobody knows them. V'naslo mamachashuv lahay b'shekin, and you offer them
a lot of money
to swear falsely. And they, you know, it's the Bezdin does a sting operation. They go to another city. The Bezdin sends a guy and says, "Here, here's $10,000. You lie falsely." The Lorotzen, he refuses.
That's a stumbling block.
Well, that's the only. Well, but it's not really an avera because it's not true. The whole case isn't true. It's not a stumbling block. He doesn't. It's not a true case. This is a way to test them. I raise us a chuva, and I said chuva, chazak hashuk, goes back to discussions, v'chein kol kayoytze, v'zeh, and all these things. So again, I would say that if there's conflicting witnesses, if this guy did an avera, so the guy says, "What we want?" So a smart guy said, "What do you want me to do?" So you think I'm a Russia? Fine. What do you want me to do? Show that I did chuva. You want me to pay back the interest? Well, I don't owe anybody. I don't have any contracts or any interest. I mean, what do you want me to do? Okay, I won't lend interest to a guy anymore. Okay, well, whatever. So it shouldn't be that hard for him to do tshuva. If he really was honest, the tshuva should be a relatively easy procedure. Okay.
In this case with these witnesses, if somebody was executed before they found out these guys were lying,
there's nothing you could do. Well, you know what? If they didn't really do tshuva, they'll get caught again. First of all, you got to figure for a minute. A guy who did this, how many people are going to be friends with them in the city? Nobody. They're probably going to leave town. Right? I mean, be honest. If you knew that guy was your neighbor, right, would you have anything to do with him?
If he did what?
He swore false and got somebody killed, and they didn't get killed.
Sure, cool.
Would he be your friend?
No.
Would you give him an Ali and Shul?
No.
Probably not, right? So what's the guy going to do? He's going to leave town. So Bez is going to follow that guy. They'll wait a couple months, and they'll set him up on a sting operation. Right? And then they'll know if he's done tshuva or not. Okay, let's call it a day.
How about Kiddush Levana?
Those who want to do Kiddush Levana, it's a great opportunity.
Great opportunity.
It's not so cold. And we got the little booklets.
Thursday was beautiful moon.
Yeah, Thursday was nice. And it wasn't
you
so
did it?
Beautiful moon.